Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark. It's great to be here.
Hey, good to see you, and good to see your giant Bible in the studio this week as well. You're going to be doing more of a Bible study as we kind of wrap up creating a vision and how to hear the voice of the Lord.
Yeah, it's the Legacy and Faith Show, so let's bring in some more of the faith aspect. I think this entire series about developing a vision has really been a really nice mix of both of these topics, which is how do we develop an estate plan that is after the heartbeat of God instead of the heartbeat of tradition? And so I kind of started this entire topic with four different ways that I have seen people do estate planning. Number one is that they're immobilized and they don't do anything. Number two is that they just want a simple way out, and that's code for I'm cheap and I don't want to pay anything, so I really don't value the process at all. So I want something that's simple. The next way is I'm just going to do the traditional way. So in other words, what I've seen in the past, whether it's my parents, whether I heard it from my neighbor, or I just don't know anything better, is a traditional way. And then lastly, we have a process of actually being engaged and having a vision and being involved with what does it really mean to do this thing called estate planning. And so I really want to try to wrap this series up this week and talk more about what does it mean to gain that vision? What does it mean to gain that purpose in estate planning? And one of my, calling cards here, this discussion has been because we are believers in Jesus Christ, because we have a different heartbeat that we follow, then we really should not be just doing it to do it. This should be something that reflects the heart of God and what does it mean to seek Him out and what does it mean to make sure that what our final act really here on earth is, which is leaving a legacy in one way or another. We can do that by just giving money away, or we can do it by making sure that that final act of stewardship is really something that blends with God's vision. And that's really been my heart for this series, is how do we get to that point of making sure that it blends with God's heart?
Well, you want people to pray and seek the Lord. What about people who maybe have difficulty just with that basic step?
Yeah.
I mean, just about how to follow the day, let alone set up a legacy plan.
For sure. We've danced around the topic a little bit, which is why I really felt that it was necessary for me to pen out some strategic points of discussion for today, because I think there is a large portion of people who truly love God, who are truly born again, and yet struggle with this idea of, am I really hearing the voice of God versus am I hearing just my own emotions or my own thoughts? And how do we tear those apart? So wanted to discuss, okay, well, what does that really mean? So I want to hit a couple basic points. I think I mentioned these in a show or two ago, but just on a really high level. So I'm going to come back to really the foundation first. So as we think about prayer, we must have our relationship with God intact first. The entire premise of the New Testament is that we have access to our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things. And that access has been given by Jesus Christ. He and He alone said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me. And so so if we look at the Trinity, we look at first the Father. That is who we pray to. So the Father, the one who has created, in Matthew 6:6, Jesus taught us, we're going to come back to this, he taught us how to pray by saying, our Father who art in heaven. And so we know that we direct our prayers towards the Father. In Philippians 4:6, it says, let your requests be known unto God. And so Paul was telling us where to direct it. And in John 16, 23, it says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. We're going to get to that scripture again. And so we understand by scriptural foundation that we pray to the Father. Now, we pray in Jesus' name, and that's going to be a little bit of what we're going to discuss here, is that by the way Jesus Christ gave us to the Father, by his sacrifice, we have entrance to the throne. And so because he was the one who was perfect, he took our place, and it is a supernatural exchange by confessing that in our heart, in our hearts and with our mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's been risen from the dead. Salvation occurs, and we have access to the Father. So we know that we have access to the throne room of God by and through Jesus Christ. And then that seal of the Holy Spirit, as in Ephesians, is given to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who resides within us. And by his residency, we are empowered. So his job is to empower us, encourage us, and give us that confirmation, that sense of we are on target with God himself. And so it's a beautiful a picture of our Heavenly Father receiving our requests because of the sacrifice Jesus Christ has given by way of the Holy Spirit empowering and communicating in us because he resides in us. So there's kind of our foundation, is that we need to have the understanding that we get the privilege of walking into the throne room of God and facing him off and saying, Lord, this is my request. I don't know about other people, but I think I actually lose that perspective all too often. Mm. I use prayer as a way of communication, but I sometimes fail to remember that I am actually before the creator of the universe. Mm. I am before the loving Father. And so the realization of that and that alone, I believe, changes for many people the quality and nature of how we pray. Because when we are standing before the King himself, I think our posture is a little bit different. I don't think we need to be afraid because we're called friends. I don't think that that we need to be timid because he has given us permission and wants to hear our heart and our passion. And of course, we need to be fearful before him, which is awe and respect and wonder. But it is not to be a prohibiting factor in as we stand before him. It is to be a welcoming factor that says, I have true and honest relationship with our Heavenly Father, but it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, first and foremost, we need to be comfortable that we get access to the actual throne room of God when we speak to him. And again, I think I miss that often. Maybe other people do. But it sets up not just the reverence, but the real relationship of our Abba Father hearing the very heartbeat that we are seeking after. Now, in this discussion, it's really about, okay, Heavenly Father, Abba Father, I want to do well with everything that you have given me. I want to be that good steward. So when I stand before you when it really is my time to leave this earth, I can hear, well done, faithful servant. I gave you certain gifts and talents. I gave you finances. I gave you a family to care for, and you followed through with everything. As a matter of fact, Jesus is our example because he said, I do nothing other than what the Father has told me to do. And that's where I want to be. I want to be in such a relationship with God himself that I do nothing outside of what he has actually told me to do, and that I don't fall into complacency of just doing something. I don't fall into just doing it because other people do it. I want to do things because it is what God has told me to do. And I believe that we can have that type of intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it is because the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He is our beacon and the ping in our heart that tells us we're aligned with the heartbeat of God, and we come by the entrance of Jesus Christ. Through Him and in Him, we come before the Heavenly Father.
How much of this is something that God customizes, so to speak, to your life versus, or either, maybe it isn't either or, but biblical principles. There's lots of stories in the Bible on how people invested and how people put their different priorities in place. How much of it just comes from a basic understanding, a good understanding of the Word of God?
Absolutely. So number one, I believe that there are things that we can find in the Word of God that tell every single Christian exactly what to do. We are to be a light of the world. That is not just Paul Grant. That is not just Mark's calling. That is every Christian's calling, because it is clearly in the Word. We are to be salt of the earth. We are to be discussing the gospel, the good news, with those around us. So I think that there is a basic premise of what is God's will for every single Christian. But then there is also what I'm more talking about, which is this relationship aspect of knowing, Paul, this is what I want you to do. So it's not the overarching the will of God, but it is more signified and it is more personal to say, Paul, I've created you with special talents and gifts, and I want to use those for the building of my kingdom, like this and like this. I'm telling you, when I was in my 20s, there is no way that I believed that I was to be an attorney. It was completely off my radar. As a matter of fact, I really had a passion and a heart for missions. I went to 23 different countries in 2.5 years as a missionary, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when you're in your 20s, I think it's pretty natural to think, well, I'm going to be called into ministry forever and ever. Well, I am called into ministry, but I just didn't know that the road was going to lead me to be an estate planning attorney. I didn't know that it was going to be some of the things that God has brought to me. But that's why it's such a beautiful step-by-step journey. His word is a lamp unto my feet. It's not a lamp to the mountain that I'm going to be facing. It's to the very step that I need to take today. And so, therefore, God has something that He wants to give us individually so that we can accomplish His overall objective by bringing the kingdom of heaven to this earth. That is what we are all to do. That is the overarching calling of every single Christian, to have the kingdom of God be manifested on this earth, but we all have different ways of doing it. So therefore, I need to hear the heart of my Heavenly Father to say, what exactly am I supposed to do with today? And that footstep could be a step that leads me on a month journey, on a year journey, on a decade journey. I don't know. I'm not going to quantify what that one step means for somebody. All I'm saying is that there is the overarching will of God that we can clearly see in the Word. But then there is the relational calling that we need to have that throne room entrance to make sure that we have and hear His heartbeat.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant this week on how to create a vision with God's help. You want to hear God's voice on His vision for your estate plan, and it can be done. Paul would like to maybe help you with your estate planning. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us, and there's upcoming educational opportunities, because it all starts with education. So sign up for one of our upcoming workshops at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, talking about hearing God's voice as it pertains to creating a vision for your estate plan. And it can be done, but you need to be able to hear God's voice. I think it was interesting, Paul, you were mentioning that first part of your career, you were more into missions. You still are.
Yes.
But you thought you were going to be a missionary the rest of your life, and then you took a turn, and now you're an estate attorney. Seems like very different worlds. But I would think as a missionary, one of the things that I found, I did some missions time in my young 20s as well, and it was always a struggle. Finances were always a
yes,
big struggle
are.
In missionary work. Maybe that's why you became acutely aware of how ministry doesn't happen a lot of times without money, without funding.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So. We do live in this world, and this world operates off of currency. And so, therefore, we need people who have a passion and a heart to fund the kingdom. I have yet to have $1 million to show up in a bag on my doorstep. And so, therefore, there are people who are anointed to make money. But their purpose is not to hoard it. Their purpose of why God has allowed them a place in the marketplace is not so that they can build their own kingdom. It's so that they can utilize it for kingdom purposes and to fund missionaries, to fund the church and progress the mission of the overall king's vision, which is to save the lost, to set them free so that they may be whole. And so money is a tool. It's not a bad thing. It's intended to be a tool. And really, that's what we're talking about is how do we utilize and leverage this tool, not just during my lifetime, but then when I am gone. And so some people just leave it to their kids. Well, that's a perfect plan if that's what the Holy Spirit has told you. If God has spoken that into your life, perfect. That's the perfect plan. Others need to give some or most to ministry. Well, that's a perfect plan if that's what God is leading you to do, because we want to be that final steward with what he has given us so that the kingdom can continue to progress in this earth so that many can be saved. That's the heartbeat.
Do you think that maybe some people feel like because maybe they don't have a lot of money that really all they can do is help their immediate family and not other ministries or... Do you think that gets in the way of people's vision?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And actually, that gets in the way of people thinking that they need to do this drill called estate planning, even, which is, well, I don't have a whole lot. And it's like, okay, well, but estate planning is more. We need to make sure that you're well taken care of. But what you have is necessary. It's a necessary example. It's a necessary part of the kingdom. You do not know what God is going to do with the widow's mite. It's an amazing thing to trust him, even if it's not very much, to say, here is what I have because I believe this is what you have told me to do with it. So therefore, I'm entrusting you with this gift. It's not about me dreaming up what can or can't be done, whether it is a $10 offering or whether it's a $10 million offering. Yes, they could have different influences and effect, but the $10 million can be squandered, and yet the $10 can be used to have great effect in the kingdom. And so it's a matter of what has God told us to do with being a steward? And that's my heartbeat. My heartbeat is, let's not just simply do something with estate planning. Let's make sure that it's in alignment with what God has told us to do with our overall vision, regardless of the amount of money that we end up having.
Hmm. Okay, so if someone is having difficulty hearing God's voice to get this vision, then are you saying that you say, go home until you hear before you call me, or call God first and then call
right.
me, or,
yes.
or can they still participate with you?
Yeah, great question. And so we want to help every single person. I've had people come in and say, how do I do this thing? How do I do it both on a spiritual level and how do I do it on a legal level? And so this really is my ministry. It's really helping people leave a legacy in a way that blends with God's purpose and vision. And we all come at different places in our relationship. We all come from very different backgrounds. Our background is going to be very different if we're a Catholic brother and sister compared to a Pentecostal brother and sister. And one is not better than the other. It's just a different background. And so therefore, no, you don't have to figure this thing out. That's why I'm here. This is why I believe that I have been gifted with the skill set to help people walk through the journey. And we want to help you walk through this journey to get to the right conclusion for you, with your God, and with your family. So we just don't want to exclude one over the other. The traditional way is I'm just going to leave it to my kids, or I'm just going to leave it to my family. And that excludes really seeking after and trying to hear the heartbeat of God. And that's my encouragement, is that I think we should be reversing that process, which is, what has God told me first? And then I'll consider my family, because He is their ultimate provider as well, not me. And so therefore, by putting the right priorities in line, it'll actually help our children in the long term and our grandchildren in the long term, or the ministries that we are blessing in the long term, because we sought after His heart and we found the right mix that He told us. I don't know what that mix is, but I'd love to help you find it in the discussion. So you don't have to come prepared. If there's one thing you can do, yes, seek after God's heart. But otherwise, come and let us help guide you through the process of it all.
But again, getting back to, you just don't want people to assume that they're going to do the traditional thing, that they've got to give a certain amount to their kids, and that's it. You want them to maybe take an adventure a little bit with the Lord. Maybe the Lord wants to give them a specific ministry that God has on His heart, and maybe the Lord would remind that person, maybe they used to be involved in missions work, like you say, and remember that at this time in your life when you're planning your estate.
Yeah, and so again, I want to help everybody get a solid estate plan, because I'm an attorney, and I want to make sure that your family is well taken care of. If you come in and say, I'm just leaving things to my kids, and that's what I want to do, I'm in and I'm going to help you. Is it my heart? Is it what I really believe, the heart of God, for us to seek Him out first? Yes. But that is not, I'm not refusing to help somebody because they haven't taken that step. I work with many people who have no relationship with Christ. And so I am going to give them my greatest passion and my greatest work, just like I'm going to help somebody who has taken the time to seek after our Lord and Savior with these things. So it's not a pre-qualification. It is simply, as a believer, my hope is that we seek after Him first. Yeah. So, let me say this just real quick, is that I think it's really critical. This is what we were talking at before break, is that we really understand our position of God. And so in Psalm 24, 3 and 4, it says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." And so I want to remind us, I know it's really basic, I know it's really simple, but yet it is the entire deal of our relationship with God, which is that Colossians 3:1 says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father. And so it is not about whether I've done good today or bad today. My actions have been judged at the cross. They have not been judged by my ability to enter into the throne room of God. Jesus and Jesus alone has been the full and final sacrifice. And I don't care what I did today in my own self, whether my thought processes were wrong, whether my motivation was wrong. God is waiting for us with open arms because Jesus is sitting next to him, because he is the one who covers us, not me, myself. And so really taking a moment to think through, again, how do we enter in to the presence of God? We enter in by the blood of Jesus. We don't enter in by ourselves. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise to his name is what Psalms 100 says. And so, in Matthew 6, it's the Lord's Prayer. And I mentioned it earlier, the Lord's Prayer, at least in my opinion, is not something to be repeated. Although if you repeat it and it gives you faith to enter into his presence, then do that. But I believe it was a guidepost for us. And it comes back to this very thing, which is our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When we come before our Heavenly Father with thanksgiving, with praise, it sets our heart up properly so that we come into his presence and it opens us up to have an ear towards him. And when we have that ear, when we are solid in our relationship with him, then our faith is ready. And I believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will communicate with us and even with things like your estate plan so that we can leave it with kingdom purpose and his purposes will be fulfilled on this earth.
Okay, wrapping up the series on creating a vision this week with Paul Grant. People are intrigued. They want to know more. How do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's ways to communicate with us. And upcoming educational seminars, workshops, legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.